This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is Afternoons on Dubai Eye 103.8.
You're listening to Farmer's Kitchen Podcast. I'm Poonam Verma. Get ready for your taste buds to salivate because we're talking food. We're starting off with melange, which creates some of the tastiest and sweetest pastries in Dubai. We've got food news with Courtney Brandt, and she's talking about mustard donuts. I actually want to try one. Sensation is bringing a piece of Santorini to Dubai, and Chef SK is the winner of the Iron Chef Thailand, and he's actually head chef now in Armani Hotel. We're also going to be finding out about a new place called Makira, which serves Japanese rolls and bowls, and Paradiso in Abu Dhabi is serving some top-notch Mediterranean food.
Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Melange is a Dubai-based bakery specialising in gourmet desserts and bespoke cakes. And if you look at their Instagram, oh my God, the cakes are very beautiful and very delicately made. And the lady behind these creations is founder Nadia Parekh. Welcome to the show, Nadia. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
So the first thing I have to ask you is, as a pastry chef, is the most precious thing on your body a very steady hand?
Yeah, absolutely, actually. Definitely with cake assembly and bespoke cakes, it is very intricate work and it is very time consuming for sure.
You must go into a very meditative state when you're doing it because there must be so much focus in it.
Absolutely. So when I started working from home, I was a one-woman show, so it was really my time in the kitchen where I would just shut the door and just, you know, wouldn't know where the time went. Now that, you know, like, thankfully we've grown, but I still have those moments where I go in earlier than anyone, put my AirPods in and just do my thing because it really does, it's escapism in a way, for sure.
I absolutely agree. And you're still being creative, and there's some, it's like a painter, isn't it, or a musician?
Definitely. You need that I at least need that creative aspect as well. I can't only sort of focus on the business stuff. So this sort of balances it out for me.
What is the longest time you've ever spent on creating a cake?
Oh, so I had to do a 6-tier wedding cake once. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, this was actually during COVID.
Okay.
So it was quite surprising, but that took a very, very, very long time. It was all real cakes. There were no dummies to work with. It was incredibly heavy, structurally speaking as well. And of course, the work was very, very intricate. It took a total of 3 days.
You know what makes me nervous is, you know, when I've watched those cake shows like Cake Boss and everybody doing those shows, the thing mm-hmm. that makes me panic is you see how much effort goes into these cakes and then they have to mm-hmm. carry it to the location.
Yeah, the transport.
Oh, God.
The transport gives me a heart attack still to this day.
It gives me a heart attack watching these shows. I feel like it's a shame you can't do it in the location, so it has very limited space to move around. Has anything ever gone wrong?
Yeah, definitely. Things smudge sometimes, you know, it does happen. But that's why, like, when you go on site, you do take your tools and stuff with you. You take everything you use so you can fix it up. Because a lot of the time, even while stacking cakes, so I don't stack beyond 3-tier and deliver. So if it's like a 6-tier cake, I would assemble it on site.
Yeah.
To sort of, you know, hopefully, I mean, less things go wrong that way. So
you must have mini heart attacks every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially because, like, I work with buttercream. So, like, one finger in the wrong place, you know, and it's just completely smudged everything. Yeah. It's not fondant. So it's even harder to transport, actually.
So I've seen these cakes on the Instagram page. It's called Melange, M-E-L-A-N-G-E. What's the meaning behind the name first?
So the name actually has a really funny story. It's a French word. The meaning is literally like a mixture or a blend or a balanced sort of mixture. Mm. And I learned this word when I was studying French in high school. And I don't know why, but it just really stuck with me. The way it just sort of rolls off your tongue. And then when they taught us about the meaning, I loved it even more. And it just, to this day, I love the word.
There is a mixed bunch of cakes, you know. Like, there was one white cake on your website. And it had like these kind of gentle frills coming off with a little gold lace at the end. And I was like, that looks so simple yet so beautiful. And then the next page, there's cookies. So what kind of cakes
100%.
So what kind of cakes do you serve?
So, you know, honestly, the reason I love having two aspects of it is that I still get to keep that creative element alive with the bespoke designs. But we also have an online shop, you know, because I started out making only bespoke cakes. Now, bespoke cakes are big and they're expensive, so they're only fit for occasions. But the whole point is that cake is for any day, any time, you know, like a slice of cake. So I wanted to make it more accessible. So we launched an online store that has smaller versions of the cakes because, you know, sometimes you just want to eat a slice. You don't need a whole sort of customized design for it. And that way I was also able to experiment with a lot more flavors because obviously with bespoke cakes, it needs to be structurally sound. So you can't do anything you want flavor-wise. But with the smaller cakes, you can.
Yeah.
So again, every cake is a melange and we try to sort of refine and balance it best we can.
Talking about experimenting, I mean, do you love just being in the kitchen and coming up with new flavors and new shapes for your desserts?
I do. That's the fun part, right? That and the bespoke cakes. That's what
and
keeps
the tasting.
My creativity alive.
And the tasting, that's a good
and the
part.
Tasting, yeah. But honestly, I have to say the tasting, sometimes when you're making new products, it becomes incredibly, you start to feel sick at the end of it and you don't even know which version of what you like anymore.
It's so I find when I'm cooking and I'm like when I'm tasting, I'm just full. Because, you know,
you're already full by the time you finish cooking.
So what are you working on right now? Have you got any new cakes in the pipeline that you're working on? You've been test tasting in the kitchen.
Yeah, we actually just launched one called Everybody's Birthday Cake. And it's something that I've been wanting to launch for a while. You know how when we were all kids, we all started baking those box cakes, right? Like Betty Crocker. So the whole point was the nostalgia of that yellow sponge with that chocolate frosting with the sprinkles. And I wanted to keep sort of a very nostalgic feel, both aesthetically and flavor-wise. So, and it's doing very well, but obviously did our own sort of take on it. We make our own yellow sponge from scratch, but I try to sort of replicate that flavor profile because it's that flavor that gives us the nostalgia. And it's got like a praline, hazelnut praline filling, and cereal. We soak the sponge with cereal milk, and there's some caramelized cornflake discs in the middle for crunch, and all in all, a very, very nostalgic flavor, probably one of my favorites.
Amazing. So with so many people, turning to healthy living and becoming vegan, do you offer any vegan cakes, or do you just keep it full and rich and creamy?
Yeah, we are definitely, definitely all for the cheat day. However, I think I definitely want to get into vegan stuff because I feel there's a huge market for it. And it's a challenge for me also to experiment with. I'm not used to working with plant-based.
Yeah.
So it's something that I want to branch into. I don't think we'll ever be doing anything healthy. So I don't think gluten-free and stuff like that is something that, it's not my forte. It's not something I'm good at to begin with. But definitely vegan and dairy-free, eggless, these are things that I want to get into. Time will tell.
What were you before a pastry chef? Because am I right in saying you were a psychologist?
Well, no, I'm not a psychologist, but I did study clinical psych in my undergrad, and I was all ready to go to grad school.
Yeah.
Culinary was always a hobby, so I grew up loving to be in the kitchen always, but it was never something I thought I'd make a career out of. So like clinical psych, to this day, I still find myself reading papers and books on psychology just because it's something I'm so interested in. But when I actually started dabbling in the field professionally, I realized that it's not something that I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And that's when I took a gap year after my undergrad and went to culinary school just to figure things out. And there was just no looking back after that.
So where is Melange? Where can we come and find you?
So we're located in Bloomingdale's Dubai Mall on first floor Fashion Avenue. And we're also we have our own studio in Business Bay and online. So deliveries are our, you know, bread and butter. So we deliver all over UAE on our website, and we do same day deliveries within Dubai as well.
And can we just order a slice?
Yeah, absolutely. You can.
And if I wanted to order a slice, which one would you recommend I order?
So, oh my gosh, this is such a difficult
question. I know, that's why I'm asking you.
Our best seller is the salted caramel cake. It always has been. But yeah. I think that it's not my personal favorite, actually. My personal favorite would probably be the pistachio.
I love pistachio.
Yeah, it's and also the birthday cake. I think that's a true reflection of what we're all about. Yeah.
And just a final question. Out of everywhere you've been, before you opened Melange, what was one of the most memorable, delicious desserts you ever tasted? It could be anywhere in the world.
I'm a sucker for good croissants.
You know, I was once in France, and I came out of a club in the good old days when I could stay up late. And I think it was 5 or 6 a.m. in the morning, and I could smell from a cafe fresh croissants. He's just got them out of the oven in the south of France. There was nothing like
it. Oh, my God, that sounds like a dream. Yeah, there's just something about that laminated dough. And if you get it just right, honestly, it's a dream. And the best one that I've had so far was in Copenhagen, actually, at Juno. So memorable to this day. I can remember it. Yeah, it was delicious.
Well, I will be ordering a slice maybe after the gym. Not before. So thank you, Nadia. Thank you so much. And do go and check out her page. It's Melange, M-E-L-A-N-G-E, on Instagram. Thank you, Nadia.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai I 103.8.
I was just telling Courtney Brandt, who's in the studio with us for the latest food news, that when I was about 15, this song by Wham, which I love, my friend was actually in the music video because they filmed part of the music video at a concert where she was. I remember thinking, so jealous at that age. But it's cool. That's all I ever think of when I hear that song.
I'm not as cool as your friend. I've not been in the background of any video.
I haven't been on any music video yet. We'll just make our own, Courtney. Don't worry. So how are you today?
I'm doing quite well. I delivered finally on my promise to you to bring you food. This goes back a few months, but I decided to just go for the best today. So I brought you some cakes, the taster box from Melange.
Yeah, and they're on the show later on today after 4 o'clock. And I have to say, I walked in. It was Friday. I was feeling a little bit lazy. She's sitting in the green room with all this cake. And I sat down with a cup of tea, like we do, good Brits. And I said, you bought me cake and a cup of tea. This is perfect before the show. So that sugar rush is slowly seeping in me. By in an hour, I'll be good to go.
I think there's still a little left, right? So you can kind of space it out if you'd like to.
Yeah, I'll space it out and go to the gym tomorrow. So let's start with the first latest news. The minimalist restaurant menu is over. Does that mean like 5 on a menu?
It means, so especially in fine dining, we were in the space that it was like you would, you know, look at something and it would be like the ingredients would read mushroom, tomato, celery. And then you'd be like having to understand and interpret what that meant. And no one really could. And then they might say, you know, from this list of basic tiny ingredients, you know, pick 4. And you sat there kind of wondering, well, what am I actually choosing? Mm. And so now we can see that, you know, menus, as we come back, as we go away from the QR code, from, you know, the COVID times, now we're getting physical menus again.
Oh, the good days.
And people want to see what they're getting. And people have, you know,
Are you talking about when they want to see what they're getting, like the pictures you get when we used to go to Spain and they'd be stuck on the windows of the cafes, like fish and chips, this is what it looks like.
There are restaurants that do that. There's nothing wrong with that.
I like it.
In a city like Dubai, actually, with so many languages, I can totally understand a business case to
I
do
like
this.
I like the visual look, even the video look. I love it.
This one is saying more, we want to know and connect where our food comes from. We want to say maybe who's involved in that dish. We want to say with dietary needs, we want to know, you know, if you have dietary restrictions, you need to know all the ingredients. You don't need to just get orange, beef, you know, coriander. You need to get all the ingredients that go into it. So I like it. I'm for this change.
I remember when I was in America, I was in New York and it was a deli. And I used to watch all these like delis in like, you know, New York movies going, I want to go and sit and dine in one like they do in the movies. And I still to this day have a picture of that menu at home in England. It had like, I think on the back and the front, maybe 150 dishes. I've never seen a menu like it in my life.
And I just didn't know what to choose. So when you said minimalistic, I was like, if you give me a menu with five things on the menu, that's perfect for
that's
me.
That's true. And I actually prefer, I think, do a few things well than doing, and no offense to Cheesecake Factory, but like the Cheesecake Factory novel that you get when you go and you're flipping pages.
But that's what it is. It's that American thing, isn't it? They serve everything and everything. Yeah. So that's where it comes from. It's very similar. But I wanted to taste that American thing. And I was like, yeah, I've had it, but I can't eat this much. And I'm sticking to the minimalistic menus. Now, I know Helen cannot stand avocados. Mm-hmm. So maybe there is an equivalent, if it tastes different, that is. And it's called the Ecovado.
And I want to call it, I think the better name is Evocado.
But isn't it Ecovado?
It is, but I like my version better.
Evocado. Okay, well, apparently they've called it Ecovado, which yes. aims to be the sustainable alternative to avocados. I saw pictures of it, and it looks perfect.
It does.
It looks fake.
It looks so real. It's fit. Like, that's where I'm coming down as well. And I think what I didn't know until I read the article is some of our, you know, produce takes a lot of water to produce. And avocados, you could have one avocado is the same carbon footprint as 2 pounds of bananas.
Yeah, there's a lot of water used on all this, and we forget about that. I agree with you.
Yeah, so this one is, this was done in the UK, and they were using UK ingredients, so local ingredients to recreate this avocado, because it just comes down to like chemicals and textures, right? So your brain is reading it like an avocado.
Does it have the nutrients in it?
I believe, I think it's close.
But it looks like it's been molded, and it's like a plastic version of an avocado on the picture, because it is perfect.
Yes.
The stone's perfect. There's no, it's very bizarre.
But you can even eat the stone. They've used what? Hazelnuts and walnuts as the stone. So it's like biodegradable. There's a lot of good things going for this.
And there's no, how much water do they use to make
that
it?
I need to go back. I'd have to come back with okay. some research
and,
for
and
you.
And this was in the UK?
Yes.
Okay,
technology
UK.
Hasn't gone too
there's a
far.
Lot of things that are going wrong in the UK, so they're making these Ecovados right now. Okay, well, if they have any in the UK when I go back, I'll check it out. Now, we're going to be back because we're going to be talking about hot cereal, but we're not talking about hot cereal as in hot milk.
Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
It's a hot cereal. It goes by the name of Sinafuego Toast Crunch, and I'm going to hand it over to Courtney.
So we know Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's the same brand.
Yeah.
But Sinafuego, for Spanish speakers, you will hear me butcher the word fuego, meaning
me
hot.
Too.
Yes. So it's sweet cinnamon heat is the promise. It's available from, I think, this month in the States. I'm going... So you're going to the UK, you're going to get Ecovados. I'm going to go find us some Sinafuego Toast Crunch. So
I'll bring some over, we'll share it when
exactly,
you come back.
Exactly. I'd have to taste it. I really like, my brain is kind of...
Are we talking like as in spicy, like kind of piri-piri cereal?
I think like, you know, cinnamon can read as kind of
a hot spice.
A hot spice,
like
yeah.
Like they're used for Christmas kind of things.
Yes.
If you put too much, oh, I get it.
Okay, so that's where I think we're going, I hope. But then if you add milk to that, I don't know. I don't.
Well, you have cinnamon in hot chocolate.
True.
And in coffees and stuff. I feel like there's just double doses of cinnamon in this. That's all it is.
It's overload. Yeah.
It is overloaded. Now, this is pretty exciting. Neha, who is the chef at Konoya, which is a homegrown brand, is expanding far and wide. She was supposed to be on the show today, but she couldn't make it, bless her. So we will get her on soon. What is happening? Because this is pretty big news.
This is very big news. And I think she's, I don't know where she's, she can keep things close. So this is like a secret. When it came out, I think it came out Tuesday when it was Wednesday, and everyone is like, yeah. So if you're going to London in Q2. Of 2023?
Yes. Oh,
okay.
No.
I'm but going... no, now you can plan a trip.
Yeah, next week I'll be... I mean, sorry, I'll be going next year too, so no worries.
Kinoya's second location will be in Harrods.
Wow. Wow.
It is a wow. It's a wow, wow, wow.
I don't know if that's the first homegrown restaurant that's in Harrods from here. What do you think?
I don't know if it's a short-term or it's a long-term contract, but we are all over the moon to see, you know, food that was developed here, you know, Neha and her team and all the behind the scenes that must be going on. I can't even fathom, you know, you have your restaurant here and it's so successful. And then, oh, by the way, Harrods comes knocking and says, hey, we're going to make a space for you.
It's crazy.
It is incredible. Yeah. I do hope to visit. And I know a lot of, you know, friends and the the region and around the UAE do travel regularly to London. So I hope they'll check that out.
Well, congratulations, Neha. You deserve it. Also, now you sent me a story about the world's first hot air balloon restaurant. I liked it so much, I've actually contacted the chef.
Amazing.
Yeah. So you tell us all about it, because I think this would be amazing in Dubai.
I do too. So I've been on a hot air balloon like once. I don't know how a chef would go, do you know what I want to do? Do service at however many feet in the air that we are. So it's already kind of like, whoa. Apparently you can use the flames
yes.
to cook, which is also incredible.
Like a barbecue in a basket?
Yes. But this is a Dutch chef, Angelique Schmink. So Dutch listeners, sorry for that. And she has 25 years experience. She can do a 3-course meal for 10 people
wow.
in 90 minutes.
And they're all sitting down and eating, is it? Or standing?
I think it's standing. Mm. You can take off from 20 locations. You often will have your dessert on the ground for kind of like that final thing. And lots of people getting engaged this way. Like, what a special way to do that.
I mean, I saw the pictures and it looked stunning. The food looked amazing. She said one of the best things she can cook on it is sea bass.
Yeah.
Is it because it's steamed in the flames?
I want to get on a press trip where I just go and eat in weird locations. I'm going to start with the hot air balloon restaurant experience.
And you know what? I do actually want her to come on the show, because I want to tell her that this would so work here.
Oh, 100%.
Do you remember that other one, the Sky
yes,
High one? What
I
was
did
it called?
That. Dinner in the Sky.
Do you know, that was scared me. I did it.
I did it too. And you're not like, you're strapped in, but you're like, there's so much
scared.
Space around you.
Yes.
I was like, I'm going to lose my shoe.
Yes.
I'm going to lose my phone. Something is going to happen.
Yeah, that terrified me. That did. All right. Let's talk about something that I actually want to try this. Because again, when you send me this stuff, I'm like, ew. And then I'm like, but I need to try it now. And it's called mustard flavored donuts.
Yes. So, you know, we have all these arbitrary days in the calendar. And of course, apparently the National Mustard Day is tomorrow, August 6th.
Oh.
So in kind of conjunction in celebration of this, French's mustard and dough donuts in the States have come up with a mustard donut.
Maybe you should have brought some mustard in and we could have just put it on a donut. I mean, that's all it is. We could have tried it.
There's a lot of startup donut places here. We put it out to there. But on the box, and I don't know if this is like a good thing or a bad thing, it says, wake up and taste the tang, as in mustard, on your donut. As we said offline or off air, I'd try it.
Yeah, I'd try it.
Yeah.
I just think people do this just to get on air, and they've managed it. So congratulations.
Well done, Frenches.
Okay, and I want to end with this, because in the news today I saw that the UK supermarket Waitrose are going to remove the best before dates from items of fresh food, such as fruit, vegetables, from September. Why is that?
So there is a lot of food wastage around these dates. So they're really trying to combat that. And I think it's amazing. So they're going to do a best before and a use by. And the best before is really before they start to lose quality. But it doesn't mean, I think, you don't have to throw it out. And there is a use by, which you absolutely do need to use it by. So 500 items. And I do hope this is a trend, because anything that cuts down on food wastage, you know, you open the cupboard and you think, oh, and maybe it could still be used or donated or something.
But, you know, you're right, actually, because it also says that when you have the best before, it just gives you an idea of how long foods will last before they lose quality. And if they're stored properly, like my avocados or ecovados, whatever they're going to be now, they last much longer than sometimes the dates, because they're stored like differently.
Yeah.
So I think it, yeah, people, my sister's a bit odd. She'll go, no, it's old. I'm like, no, it can last another 2 days. And she'll throw it away.
Yeah, we need to, there's, you know, people, I think there's a study, the amount of food that ends up in the landfill that's produced that actually gets consumed, like, it's not great. So anything we can do to kind of combat this problem, I'm definitely for it.
Right, so are you going out for some fancy dinners this weekend that you need to make me jealous of?
I'm not. I most recently went to Hakkasan in Abu Dhabi. I am going to go to Clay at Blue Waters next week. And I'm hoping to get, there's a new one by Chef Izu, Alaya, which is a new one at DIFC. So these are all kind of on my list.
Okay, well, I'm just going to go downstairs to the coffee shop and get a cake. Thank you so much, Courtney.
You're listening to Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Now, if you love keeping up with all those cooking shows on TV, then you may have heard of my next guest. He was the winner of Iron Chef Thailand Thailand and is now head chef at the award-winning Japanese restaurant Armani Hashi at the Armani Hotel. He's known as Chef SK Choi and he's with me now. Welcome to the show, Chef. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Very, very good. Are you in your kitchen right now at the Armani?
I just back from the kitchen. I just out of the kitchen. I'm still staying in the office.
Yeah. Have you got a busy day today ahead of you? It's Friday.
Because we just opened like 2 days back.
Are you saying the restaurant just opened 2 days ago?
Right. So that is our regular summer closure. So we just opened 2 days back.
Yeah.
So it's getting started busy.
Oh, did you have a nice break?
just take rest. I just, doing tennis and a lot of activity in Dubai.
Yeah.
So, right.
That's good. Now, I want to know a little bit first about Iron Chef Thailand. What was that whole experience like?
It was very meaningful for me, especially in my career, because I never done before, like, competed in, like, cooking, right? I just competed like tennis or my athletic, but the cooking fight, let's say fight, that is my first time. And then finally I won. So I kind of big achievement for my whole life.
What was the feeling like when you actually won the competition?
Finally.
What was your... Oh, bless you. It's hard, actually, because doesn't it last a few weeks, these competitions? You have to cook every week or something?
It all depends. So I was invited from the, Master Iron Chef.
Yeah.
So they choose, like, kind of challenger. So I was chosen by them, and like, 4 or 5 times. So I keep fighting with the Master Chefs. So... Finally, I won.
I love that. Now, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from South Korea.
So if you're... Before I go on to the next question, I love Korean Netflix movies. I'm addicted to them. I just thought I'd let you know.
Like Squid Game?
No, not Squid Game. The dramas. The love stories.
Okay. It's a love story, right?
Yeah, I love them all, honestly. So if you're from South Korea, how come your focus has been on Japanese food? Have you just had a natural love for it?
Actually, my hometown is very nearby Japan.
Mm.
Like, only for 2 hours by boat.
Yeah.
Which is from Fukuoka. So when I was very young, naturally I start to get Japanese culture, which is the sashimi and sushi.
Yes.
Yeah. So, right, and naturally I learn, no one teach me, but, gradually.
What are some of the signature dishes then we're going to find at the Armani Hashi? Is there anything that you really stands out for you?
Actually... We recently launching, my like chef testing menu.
Nice.
This is the whole my signature dish included, which is the Hokkaido sea urchin ikura donburi, which is the small rice bowl. On top have the sea urchin ikura from Hokkaido, which is very, very fresh.
And talking about fresh, where do you source a lot of your fish from? Are you very particular where it comes from?
Right. So we directly call to Japan and then with a local supplier. So what I need, I just talk and then they sending to Singapore to Dubai. And then I get twice per week we get. So very fresh one.
I always think that a lot of chefs, but especially sushi chefs, must be quite perfectionists because they have to present the food in a very visual, appealing way too. Would you agree? Are you a bit of a perfectionist?
Before, I thought like you, actually. Sorry. But, the sushi is very complicated, the process.
Yeah.
For for preparing is a lot of process, but when we make the sushi, when we offer to customer, it's very simple.
Ah.
So people actually cannot see what chef preparing. So I want to show how we prepare. So I always standing up in the sushi counter and then showing up to how I prepare. And yeah, so people get to know.
So you've traveled and you've worked extensively in different countries. I know you also worked in Vegas, I think, Las Vegas. How does the culinary and the food scene here in Dubai compare to the other cities that you've lived in? What do you think of the food places here?
In Dubai, everything, I mean, all the chefs and all like mixed with culture, everything here. So the food-wise, I can feel is a lot of the modern and fusion, and the mix with authentic and advanced cooking skill. So I'm hardly say I cannot find like very very tradition, but here I can see more advanced culinary scene.
So I'm Indian. Have you tried any spicy Indian food? Is it something that your palate is used to?
Yeah. Actually, we have very fine Indian restaurant called Amar. So I went there quite a few times. You know, there's the food mixed with the lamb chop, with the masala, and a lot of naan, like several types, which cheese naan, truffle, so all mixed with the modern style. So I was very happy.
You can handle the spice.
It was delicious.
Can you handle the spice?
Yeah, because I'm Korean, you know, we have kimchi and a lot of spices.
Yeah, I know. Right? Yeah. Yeah, you're right, actually. So when you're not in the kitchen and you've had your time, let's say you had your few days off or a few weeks off, do you like to still cook at home or do you like to go out and try and find new places to eat at?
Frankly speaking, when I'm back home, I just take a rest.
Yeah, I can imagine.
See the Netflix. Actually, my wife cooking very well, so I just leave her. So.
Oh, that's great. So she's a great cook too.
Right. She's very good because she trained under my wing.
Yeah.
Like over 7 years, so yeah. Definitely she. She's good.
That's good. You should relax and put your feet up if you're cooking for everybody else. And let me ask you, when you think back at your childhood, where you grew up in South Korea, yes?
Right.
So what dish that reminds you of home, one dish that you always remember when you were little that is very South Korean?
When I was young, when I kid, my mom hold the Korean restaurant, which is barbecue restaurant.
Oh.
So my mommy, the signature dish we call galbi, which is the short leaf, marinated short leaf, and they cook on the charcoal.
Yeah,
it's a very intense flavor, sweet, rich, very rich flavor with the rice. So that dish I bring to my kitchen. We have the same the dish we call galbi, which is beef short rib lobadayaki. So you can try. Yeah.
You brought a taste of home to the hotel at Hatch. Amazing. All right. Well, Chef SK Choi, it was lovely to chat to you and I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. We will have to pop over to the Omani Hashi and check out some of that sushi that he makes.
Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Now, the UAE is such a melting pot of cultures. So obviously, when restaurants are offering different cuisines, they're continuing to mushroom here in Dubai all over the place. One that has just opened days ago is Makira. It's a new Japanese rolls and bowls destination at the Dusit Thani, Dubai. Joining me now is Prateek Kumar. He is the Senior Vice President, Operations for Dusit International. How are you doing, Prateek?
Poonam, I'm doing very well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Are you just down the road from us?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you come in?
Yes, at Dusit Thani.
Why didn't you come into the studio? We're like 10 minutes up the street. Are you having a busy day?
Next time, I'm surely going to take you up on that offer, Poonam.
Next time you do, you make sure you bring some of these rolls and bowls, because I want to know all about them. What are Japanese rolls and bowls? What's in this food?
Deal. Before I come next time, you have to come and visit us across the street.
You don't need to ask us twice. We'll be there.
Yeah, great. Looking forward to that. So, yeah, I think, as you know, we changed the hotel to a dry wellness-based concept from the 1st of January this year. And Makira, which is the new Japanese restaurant, used to be a speakeasy before that. And, we were thinking about what to do with the space. And it was a beautifully designed Japanese space, which was done by Creno International. So we thought the easiest transition with our new wellness focus would be turn it into a rolls and bowls concept. So hence Makira was born. So Makira basically is maki for maki rolls and ra for ramen. So the bowls, right? And of course the poke bowls. So it's the whole concept is inspired from Japan's most beloved dishes, right? The maki and the ramen, which are so famous around the world as well. Mm-hmm. And ranging from original Japanese dishes to the chef's contemporary interpretation of flavors as well. We took on the best ingredients that we could find, from the best salmon to the most premium Wagyu beef. And, you know, picking things from handpicked from the best farms to create this concept called Makira.
So tell me some of the dishes that you have on the menu, just to get me salivating a little bit.
Yeah. So my favorite, of course, is we call it the Aburi Truffle Wagyu Roll, which we source the top quality Wagyu beef slices, and we combine it with avocado and a yakiniku and truffle sauce. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, I can't use words enough to describe it. We have to invite you to come and try that. The other favorite, which is very popular, is the Ebi Tempura Uramaki, which is tempura prawns with avocado and a spicy sauce combined with teriyaki and orange tobiko. So these are some of the famous rolls. And of course, the bowls, we've done the ramen. We played with the ramen. Being a Thai hotel, we've got our own spin on the Tom Yum ramen, and which is coconut milk and rich classic Tom Yum broth with shrimps and crispy garlic oil. So that's something which is very, very popular. And of course, the Tantan ramen, which is it's a creamy miso broth with spicy minced chicken and crispy garlic oil. And the other one you have to try is the Wagyu beef ramen, which is a traditional shoyu broth based ramen. And then, of course, we have some really nice healthy bowls, you know, if you are very health conscious, focused on wellness, of poke and chirashi, which we combine the sushi rice and with the top quality salmon, tuna, octopus, hamachi, with wasabi soy dressing. So those are the key poke bowls that we are offering as well.
And what do we top it up with when it comes to dessert? Anything that are your favorites there?
That's my favorite. And I think we've created this little taster portion because it is so confusing which dessert to choose. So the chefs have come up with a matcha creme brulee, which is very, very popular, and a yuzu cheesecake. So these are the two in-house creations that our Japanese chefs have created in the desserts. And of course, we've got a selection of mochi, various flavors, passion fruit, matcha, chocolate, Alfonso mango and coconut, and to me, I think I like all of them together. So we've created a little taster's portion, which has a little bite of everything.
No, I think that's great. I love smaller portions because I just think you want to taste everything, and it's just a better way to do it. How do you describe the ambience and the design of the place too?
It's a really nice, actually, it was, like I said, it was a Japanese speakeasy, and it was designed by a design firm called Creno, who designed some of the best spaces. And, we worked on that concept because it was a very classic Japanese design itself. And then we got together with the team from Broadway to make it a very light, bright, very quirky and fun-filled environment. Lots of wooden features and Japanese design, contemporary Japanese design elements. One of the things that we're getting a lot of great reviews on is the traditional wall art that we've put in all throughout the restaurant, like the Japanese Uchiwa fans. We've done some display of these colorful festivities and summer of Japan signifying fans around the walls. We also worked with these furoshiki boxes, which are basically the wraps for bento boxes and also used to wrap gifts and traditionally in Japan. Mm-hmm. So we've created an original art of that. And just to have a very fun atmosphere, we've also done samurai ramen graffiti works on the walls as well. So it's a very quirky, very light, very bright, and a very almost very community-based kind of space where, you know, you kind of befriend everybody who's dining there.
Yeah, no, I saw it online, and there's like seats up to the bar where the chef is serving the food and making stuff. Then there's like an open, like you said, a community table, like you're all at school sitting together. And it's very simple, very minimalistic. So I did kind of like the vibe. So when is our invite? When can me, Milani and Benji and the team come down?
You were invited yesterday, so we hope to see you there soon.
Thank you.
Actually, we should have done this interview over there. Oh, it would have been a lot more delicious as well.
Pratique, you know what? We need to do this for next time, because I like to test taste and then be honest about it live on air.
Absolutely.
Pratique, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on.
The Chef's Table.
Now, on our chef's table today is Chef Dilip Modras. He is the chef de cuisine at Paradiso Abu Dhabi at Yas Bay, which is the result of a friendship between two very iconic chefs, Nicole Ruby and Pierre Gagnier. How are you doing, Chef Dilip? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Purnam. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, many years ago, when I first came to Dubai, I actually interviewed Pierre Gagnier. So it was very interesting to see that this was the result of him as well. Now, what kind of cuisine are we going to find at Paradiso?
Basically, Paradiso is a Mediterranean cuisine. We do different pastas, pizzas. At the same time, we do very fresh salads, and we also focus on very good quality of meat and fish also. We have very good quality steaks, and we have some of the freshest fish we can find, like sea bass and salmon. We don't want to have lots of items on the menu, so we can keep the quality. So we have a very short menu, but we focus on the quality.
Okay, and when it comes to quality and ingredients, do you try and do anything when it comes to the ingredient sourcing it locally, or do you get some of the fresh stuff, let's say, from the Mediterranean itself?
The thing is, some of the items like the meat, the best quality has to be, unfortunately, we have to take it from countries like Australia or US, for example. But fish and, for example, we have the seafood. We have like Omani lobsters, and we try to buy local stuff which are available fresh, and the quality has to be good as well. So we try to take as much as we can from local markets to keep the freshness and keep it local.
Okay, now I know you're responsible for ensuring that every dish is served in immaculate trademark style of Paradiso. Explain that to me, because I used to be a very big fan of French restaurants, and I know they're very meticulous when it comes to presentation. Is that what it means?
Yes, but see, we have to look at the concept of the restaurants. We are not exactly the fine dining restaurant, so we don't focus too much on presentation as you would do in fine dining restaurants. But Paradiso, we have to focus on it's like more comfort food, so we have to be fast, we have to be presentable also, but we have to see that it's pleasant on the eye, so it's not it doesn't take like half an hour to plate one dish, so we have to be fast also.
And that's the thing,
and
I do find, you know, when you take time as a chef to plate everything on meticulously, doesn't the food get cold?
Yes, that's the thing, so we have to organize. That's why we are focusing on doing things the right way, so we don't want to take too much time in plating, and we want to focus on the taste. And the presentation is important, but we are focusing more on the taste and the quality of the product. So if the products are good, the taste automatically takes care of itself.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That I like my food served hot, not lukewarm or anything. So as the chef de cuisine, are you responsible for coming up with new dishes as well?
The thing is, for this restaurant, we are, as you know, we are under Pierre Garnier and Nicole Ruby. So the recipes are given to us by the chef from France.
Wow!
And we got So every 4 months, like 3 months, we change the menu.
Yes.
And according to the season, we get the recipes, and we need to change the menu according to the recipes given from France.
And do they regularly check up on you and say, how is it all going? How's the food going? Because these are iconic chefs you're working under.
Sure, we are being checked regularly by the corporate chef, and he comes and he keeps an eye, so if things are running smoothly and everything is followed according to the recipe. So yeah, we are being checked.
If we were to come there to Paradiso in Abu Dhabi, what is one dish that you think we should definitely all try?
Oh, it's a difficult question. Depends what food you like. You like meat, you like fish, you like pasta.
What is one of your favorite right now? I know there must be many, but if you had to choose one, what would you like to eat tonight for dinner?
I like very simple food, so I would go for pasta. So for pasta with tomato sauce is good for me.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. So you were actually born in Goa, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
So you've worked across the globe. You've been traveling around Switzerland, Dubai, Qatar and Ukraine. Out of a lot of the countries that you've worked in, which experience throughout your travels stands out for you when it comes to your career? That, you know, a place that you'll always remember or an experience that you'll always remember?
Well, actually, it takes me quite long back when I was in Dubai 10 years ago, I believe, when we worked for Yannick Aleno at the Palm Dubai.
At Stay.
And
is that
now it got recently 2 Michelin stars.
Yes.
So this place, actually, we opened that restaurant when it was opened in 2010, I believe.
You know, I filmed there when it recently opened, so I must have bumped into you because I had a TV show then, and I filmed with Chef Yannick. So maybe you were there then.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so, and when you're growing up in Goa, what were some of the most, you know, favorite dishes that you always remember back home when you were younger?
Well, Goa, it immediately takes me to seafood. So I love to eat fish. So if you are in Goa, you must eat fish because as fresh as it gets in Goa. So
and the
you can't beat
and
the freshness of the fish.
And the fresh coconuts, don't forget that.
The coconuts, yes.
that's what I always think of when I think of Goa is the coconuts. Who was your biggest influence when you were growing up? Like, who got you into cooking when you were younger at home?
Well, my brother was a very good cook. He was into culinary also.
Mm.
And he was always cooking something at home. My mother used to cook all the time, but to see my brother also get involved in cooking was like, what is so interesting about cooking? So I got to, so I tried my hand. Luckily, it worked for me.
Wow. And look where you are now. You're working like under these iconic chefs of Nicole Ruby and Pierre Garnier. So you've done, I think you followed the good career, the right career for you.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in this case, yeah.
Oh, well, that's lovely. Well, anyway, Chef Dilip Mudras from Paradiso in Abu Dhabi, it was lovely having you on the show. Have a great day and go and enjoy that pasta in tomato sauce. Make sure you tune in to Farmer's Kitchen every Friday from 2 p.m. till 5 p.m.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.